What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to A Thing or Two, a deep dive into stuff we think more people should know about. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. To share your thoughts on this episode or anything really, leave us a voicemail at 833-632-5463 or DM us on Instagram at A Thing or Two HQ.
And join our Geneva.
And join our Geneva. You know what your son would share on the Geneva if he were allowed such a thing?
What?
French cuffing.
You know, he loves to French cuff. It's part of his personal brand.
This is like, did this start in the summer or in the, is it new for fall?
No, well, the French cuffing was new for fall, but only because it took me that long to think of it. What started in the spring was an obsession with pants that were tight at the ankle. And that, it's the beginning of
and
me.
And why? Do we have a logic for this or not?
I mean, no, I know not at all.
Yeah, why am I asking?
Well, okay, logic, this isn't logic, but if I had to provide an explanation, it's that for his entire life, I've been putting him in JNCOs. You know, not brand name. I don't know that brand JNCO's still alive, although I'm sure someone's trying to revive it if it's not.
But As they should.
It's time. Yeah. But I just love him in a super oversized wide leg pant, and I always have. I think what's been going on is that he was resisting that, and his language for being able to resist that was saying, I want them to be tight at the ankle. I didn't fully understand that, so I started just buying him a lot of, like,
slim cut, like a slim.
Well, no, more just like a tapered jogger, right?
Like a harem pant?
Well, I wanted it. So we'll get there. So I bought him a couple of like cuffed pants, basically. Uh-huh. But they were really wide. So they were like, they weren't really a tapered jogger. It's not fair. Pants with elastic cuffs at the ankles.
Yeah.
And then he was like, no, I need them tight at the ankle, but also shrunk. So basically he wants to be wearing leggings. But I was like, no, because I am still on the payroll as your stylist, at least for now. And so
in this household, we don't do leggings as pants.
Yeah, we don't, yeah. Unless you're working out.
Totally, totally.
Or I like them when they have the zipper at the bottom and you can like.
Well, yeah. When they look stylized, where they look mm-hmm. more like a pant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they actually like remind you more of like a stirrup pant that
that's
was
right.
in when we
that's
were
right.
like children.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was in the spring. And then we transitioned to short season. And I was really hoping that it would be forgotten about by the time fall
rolled around. Best of luck to you.
I was completely wrong. He picked up right where he left off. And I spent so much time trying to find, like what you're saying, harem pants, like a drop crotch. Slim from the knee down, right?
Yeah. Or which, pant. Yeah.
Yeah. And he wore those a lot when he was younger, and they make a lot of them for babies because
diapers.
It's a diaper. Yeah. Yeah. Because you give you diaper
the
butt
shape
when you're
of
wearing
a, of a hammer yeah. pant suits a diaper. Okay.
Right. So I thought, no problem. But all the lines that make those make them up to like a size 3 or 4. And Cam is in a size 5 now. The amount of time I spent Googling like slim jogger, toddler. Baby, like toddler harem pant, stuff like that. Any parent of a child who is school age who has opinions about clothes knows that this is like a true crisis situation.
Well, they have to put on clothes every day.
Yeah,
like
no,
all
it's true,
of us.
Even if you're not going to school.
Like,
but
like all of us have to put on clothes every day. And that is a challenge and a journey. And it presents obstacles for all of us. But if it's a child, it presents obstacles for multiple people at once.
A high level extremely urgent
was,
crisis
Claire.
Because we were facing
it
every morning.
Yeah.
And then one day, I don't know, I just remembered French cuffing. And I was like, oh, I'll show you. I'll French cuff your pant. And so I took his pants and I folded a little section over and then rolled it up three times. And it was like, now your pants are tight at the ankle. And Erica, it thrilled him and it satisfied him. And he was, and that, and it solved everything.
I just love, it. I think it comes back to actually conversations we've been having on this podcast kind of for a long time. It's like not that he needs new clothes. It's that he needs to learn how to wear his clothes. Like Alison Bernstein would be like super on board with this. Amy Smilovic would be like, yes. Like he doesn't need new pants. He needs new ways to wear his
pants. Well, the other beauty of this is our morning routine is that I exercise and I usually, by the time I get home from my run or whatever I've done, he is eating breakfast with Chris in the kitchen. And now, every morning I walk in, he turns around, he says, Mommy, will you French cuff my pants? Like, that is integral to our morning routine now.
I will say, there is something so Eloise the Books about the French cuff of it all. Like,
that he knows the term.
Yes. And that it comes out of his wee mouth and that he says, Mommy, will you French cuff my pants?
Yeah.
It's not a Spanish cuff. It's not a New York cuff. It is a French cuff.
It's a French cuff. It's a French cuff.
I cannot.
Two things about it. One, the evil genius of it is that there are times where I have to be like, I can't French cuff those pants because they're already too slim. You got to go put on a pair of wide legs if you want me to French
cuff. So you get them back in the pants.
So I get them back in the pants that I want them in because those are the easiest ones to French cuff because there's enough material to do it with. Chris was immediately like, I don't like this at all because French cuffing requires some technique and they're going to come un-French cuffed at school.
And then it's going to be a meltdown
about it. And he was like, you have to teach me how to do the French cuff because if I can't do it and you're not here, that's going to be a problem. And I was like, stop being crazy. It just, he doesn't really know the difference between a French cuff and a cuff. I was wrong.
Yeah, obviously, Claire, this is a particular child. Yeah. He knows the difference between a French cuff and a cuff. But also, I think everybody in the household should know how to do these things, just like everybody should know how to do braids. You know what I mean? It's like if there's a braid happening, every parent, every adult should be able to do the braid.
I agree. And pretty soon, I think Cam will probably be able to French cuff his own pants. And that's just part of, you know, independence, being independent.
That's right.
Yeah.
Will he learn to tie his own shoes or French cuff pants first?
Definitely the French cuffing of pants. Way easier.
I mean, way easier. Way easier. Yeah, I agree.
It has been absolutely huge for us. It was such a crisis. I bought so many pairs of pants. I'm so glad to be done with it. I will say the one company that came through in this situation is called Lucky Wang. They're based in New York. I think they're a family-owned business. They sell other people's brands, but they also sell their own brand of pants. And they have essentially a harem pant for kid in cute colors and fun patterns and stuff. They're a solve.
I love
if you
this.
Don't feel like French cuffing.
I mean, but you know, wear the pants you have, French cuff them. It's a lesson for all of us. It's a lesson for all of us. We both separately came upon something on Twitter, but you were the smart one who flagged to share it. It's so good.
Well, it's so good and it's incredibly a thing or two. I don't know. It just feels like it feels right up our audience's alley.
So Jen Rose Smith shared, my best cooking advice is to fill your cookbooks with what and especially who you cooked for. It seems like no big thing until a decade goes by and some elders at the table have passed on and the babies are in middle school.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's so nice. It like really makes these cookbooks like an heirloom thing too in a way that, you know what I mean? Like we grew up with like parents who had like, your parents had like recipe cards.
They have recipe cards, but more they write their modifications in
the cookbook itself.
Cookbooks, which is very, you know, at some point I realized how sentimental that would be to me to have these cookbooks where they made all of the notes about what they do.
Yes.
Differently.
Yes. But yeah, this is like the added layer on top of that.
It's incredibly charming. I absolutely love it. I also love the idea of just doing it like for, you know, mundane, like dinner at home. Cam liked it, whatever it is.
Yes.
It's very nice. It's lovely, especially as, you know, I just sometimes cookbooks feel like such a rarity these days because everything's on the apps and the websites. It's just nice.
It's just nice. Speaking of cookbooks, you have been cooking from one.
Allie Slagle's cookbook, which I think we've talked about. Or you put in the newsletter maybe?
We have.
Her I Dream of Dinner So You Don't Have To. I was in such a cooking rut and it got me out.
You were for like a month, I feel like. You were just like, we're
Erica,
not doing this.
I feel
this.
Like a year. Like maybe okay. 9 months. If I was cooking, I definitely
You were making
wasn't
food, you
recipes.
Just like weren't cooking. Yeah.
Yeah. And like often wasn't making food either. I just really was over it for a while. It was bad. And I was like, when am I going to get out of it? And then I took Ali Siegel's cookbook off the shelf. I was thumbing through it and I was like, this feels so achievable. I do really recommend it if you are also in a cooking rut because the recipes are really well considered. She's very much just like, I know that you don't know what to make for dinner. Here are some ideas. They all feel incredibly contained. She's thoughtful about not using a ton of A, ingredients or pots and pans. The
yeah.
ingredient lists are never daunting.
She's conscious of cleanup.
Yes. They just all feel so doable. They're really easy to eyeball. There's not a lot of text. You can just look and like sort of get a sense of how longish is this going to take? Do I actually have what I need? She has a knack for just in this book for really being like, it's not that hard and it's going to be okay. And you're just going to do this. I made this Chipotle tomato baked rice the other day. It was oh, so good. It's
that's so,
so
you. You love a Chipotle yeah. and you love like a tomato-y rice.
I really, can I tell you, it's so easy. You roast whole cherry tomatoes. You're not, there's yep. like no chopping.
Already,
at all
already
this
love this. Great.
You roast them with, okay, you are going to chop up a Chipotle from the can and then wonder what you're going to do with the rest of the can. That
well,
is
that's
problem.
The journey of Chipotle yeah. in general. Can't get around that.
And then you're chopping up an onion. Okay, so you're chopping that. I take back what I said about chopping.
But you still aren't chopping the tomatoes. Fine.
No, which is huge. And then you're dumping them in a pan with olive oil, roasting it for 15 to 20 minutes, taking it out, dumping rice in, dumping water in, covering it, and then roasting it for another 20 minutes, and you've got this tomato rice on the other side. The thing that you will not do, but the recipe calls for, is putting a cinnamon stick in.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
I could do or
absolutely
do without.
Not. Absolutely.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do it the next time, but.
Yeah, no, that's not for me. That's
oh,
for
and
me.
Then when it comes out,
please,
you serve it drenched in lime juice and with salted peanuts on top, which was really unexpected, but so good.
Drenched in lime juice is so up our alley.
So
salted peanuts on top. How does that go?
I thought it was going to be weird, but it's so good.
I love
it. And I served it with grilled chicken and it was great. I know you're not a chicken gal, but.
No, but listen, I'm not. I could just do this. I don't need.
Yeah, you could do this.
I could just
do this.
She
also says you could put an egg on top and put cheddar cheese on top.
Of course.
It was so easy and it will last forever and get better, you know.
Yeah. The two things I have cooked multiple times from this cookbook are. Swordfish with asparagus and little beans.
Mm,
and
the trick you love with, swordfish.
I do love swordfish. But the trick with this one is mm-hmm. that you're cutting the swordfish into little cubes,
oh.
which I've never really thought to do before.
Yeah.
And then coconut green curry cabbage. Delicious,
sounds
spicy.
Incredibly good. I like
very
green curry.
Fall. Love a green curry.
Thank you so much, Pillsbury, for sponsoring today's episode. I have been doing a lot of patting myself on the back lately because Cameron's palate has expanded considerably.
Oh, what do we got now?
All sorts of things, Erica, as long as you dip or wrap them in things he likes, which I feel like is a really obvious parenting hack that I just didn't pick up on.
Well, I think there's a little bit of that, but also he's just hit an age where that's what works right now. So great.
Yeah.
Great.
I feel like for the longest time, I was like, he won't eat vegetables, so I'm not even going to try. And now I'm like, oh no, he will. I just have to let him sort of modify them. And then yeah. he's at least getting the vegetables. And I will say that Pillsbury crescent rolls are a great way to do this. You just wrap whatever up in this crescent roll. You fill it, you roll it, you bake it. You're done.
It's easy. Easy. I love this full roll bake thing. It just makes it seem
it's stop, drop, and roll, but for dinner.
Stop, drop, and roll, but for dinner. So much more delicious, really.
Are they still doing stop, drop, and roll?
Claire, who could say? Who could say? Who
we're
could
definitely say? Fill roll bake, though.
We're
still doing that.
We're definitely doing fill roll bake. You can yeah. find all kinds of recipes on Pillsbury.com. There's like pepperoni pizza crescent rolls. I feel like you could shove some like mushrooms in there and do just
oh,
like
for sure.
a supreme pizza situation.
For
chicken
sure.
bacon ranch crescent rolls, ham and cheese crescent rolls. You get the idea.
Yes.
You can find Pillsbury in the dairy aisle. Dinner prep in 30 minutes or less. And it is picky eater pleasing. It is I need my veggies wrapped in stuff pleasing.
Yes.
Find more weeknight dinner recipes at Pillsbury.com.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, bestie, I'm Taylor.
And I'm Morgan. We are the hosts of Creeps and Crimes podcast.
Every Thursday, Morgan takes us on a deep dive into a paranormal case or a conspiracy theory.
And Taylor will bring you a detailed and accurate reporting on a true crime case.
Since we launched in 2020, we have never missed a Thursday.
With over 160 episodes ready for you to binge, you will never run out of cases.
And you can follow along on Instagram at Creeps and Crimes podcast.
Whether you're in the car or enjoying a glass of wine, tune in every Thursday to Creeps and Crimes.
I also wanted to make the statement that I think that cabbage is the corn of fall 2023.
Well, you are the produce whisperer.
Yeah. Well, and I think that at least New York Magazine definitely agrees with me because they have been, you would not believe the ink spilled about cabbage in New York Magazine in the last like 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. There's a Grub Street article that was "When Did Cabbage Get So Sexy?" which in itself is just like quite the headline because apparently cabbage rolls and cabbage, like stuffed cabbage, are showing up on all kinds of menus. The thing that I loved about this was that they told us the actual answer, which is that cabbage is cheap. So according to Kenneth Bauer, a produce specialist from Baldor Specialty Foods, the price barely fluctuates because it's often grown nearby and can be stored year-round. Even status brassica, like Napa cabbage seedlings, around $1.90 per pound. And by comparison, heirloom tomatoes are $7.94 a pound in the summer, mm-hmm. and little gems are between like $7.50 and $9. This is helpful. This is like what you, this is like, this is actually why chefs are using a thing.
Can I posit something?
Yeah.
I don't think that cabbage is the new corn. I think that cabbage is the new cauliflower.
Totally. Or Brussels sprout. I mean, it's Brussels sprouts grown up. I don't know.
I think in the way that like cauliflower was just like everybody's answer to like a meteor vegetable dish.
Like everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's right. I think that's right. I think that's right.
I'm thrilled about this because one of my childhood besties, Bryce, comes from Wisconsin and her family's business is growing cabbage.
I didn't her know mom, that.
Oh, well, but you didn't. I think I've told you that her mom was a sauerkraut queen.
Totally. I did know that. I just didn't know it's because she had cabbage in her blood.
Well, you don't get elected sauerkraut queen if you don't have, you know, if you're not true royalty.
Something Thomas and I talk about truly, like so much more than a person should, is Thomas's family's Czech. And in traveling to the Czech Republic, to Austria, to Germany, like to that region, there's so much cabbage. But in each of those countries, they do it their way and no other way. So in the Czech Republic, you always cook it. It's like sliced thin and then stewed or like braised, and it's red cabbage.
Yeah. Okay.
The Germans do sauerkraut and they're like, why would you need anything but a sauerkraut? Like, this is the way. And in Austria, you have like the red cabbage salad with like the walnuts and the lingonberry. It's as if everyone thinks there is truly just one use for the thing. It's fascinating. It is fascinating.
New York Times was like, New York Mag, you can have cabbage. Ridicchio is having a moment.
I have thoughts on this.
It's pink.
I love Ridicchio. I think it is beautiful. I feel like during the pandemic, there was a lot of like Italian heirloom Ridicchio that was being rolled out at our little like Hart's Grocer and other places. Mm-hmm. Natura, which is mentioned in this Grub Street article.
Oh, yeah. Natura loves Ridicchio. Yeah.
They love a Ridicchio.
Yeah.
I think that Ridicchio is like the stealth wealth version of cabbage.
That's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct.
So much more expensive. Like so much more expensive. Like 30 to 40% more beautiful, but like red cabbage and anyway.
What's the name? I'm going to come up empty because I feel like you and I have had this exact conversation before. What is the name of the like family of lettuces that Ridicchio is in and Romans has a dish that's just
Brassicas.
Like
Brassicas.
No. Chicories? Is it chicories?
Chicories.
No, is that right? I feel like it's something else.
Okay, let me look at the Romans menu.
It's what I'm looking at.
Oh, well, that's it then.
Is it? They say chicories, radishes. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Chicories.
Yes. Romans just always has this appetizer that's just chicories. It's just all the, and it's Ridicchio and
it's like whatever chicories or lettuces. Season.
Yes.
So great. So
it
great.
Is very good. It is one of
I get it every time.
Yeah. It's quite good. We don't have to list every great cabbage recipe, but
are we so busy?
Do we have so much to talk about on this episode? Wait until we get to iPhone notes. Okay, two. That one that you introduced. No, I want
to pull up
one.
My other cabbage recipes in my
because
spreadsheet.
I feel
Claire,
like all of the ones I have, you've introduced me to because there's the little yellow house or yellow casa.
Oh, yeah.
One that is so good. You roast cabbage and then you dump apple cider vinegar, olive oil, and a shit ton of Parmesan on top.
Yeah, you wedge it. You cut it into
wedges. It's so good.
It's so, so, so good. I have a few that I've made recently.
Okay.
This salt and vinegar cabbage from the New Smitten Kitchen cookbook.
That's the one that has butter on it, right?
Yeah. That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Holy shit. It's so good. It's one of those recipes that I made in the spring and then summer came and didn't turn on the oven. And then I made again recently and Thomas was like, I think I've had this before. But it is so good and I want it again tomorrow. Like, that's how good this is.
Wow.
We didn't have it again tomorrow, but.
I have a pitch.
Please.
So I just think that for the longest time, I was trying to come up with some sort of system for organizing my brain, my notes, my inspirations.
You mean like an Evernote kind of like
whatever. I was always exploring them. None of them were clicking for me.
It's like bullet journaling, Claire, where I'm like, this is so nice that people have this.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. For me, and I recognize it's not for everybody, the answer is just the iPhone notes.
Yeah.
And I have fully leaned into it and embraced it that literally everything, like I see a tweet online I like, I screenshot it, I link it, I put a bunch of search terms in the note, and that is it.
By search terms, you mean metadata. You enter
you
enter like full metadata. Because I've watched you do it. I've watched you be like a dentist. You'll be like dentist, teeth, cleaning, oral health appointment. And I'm like,
because I'm not going to remember later. The reason this works so well is because the iPhone notes are so searchable.
Yeah.
And I don't need anything.
And you're doing images
organized.
There? You're doing images there.
Okay. Not always, but I have more recently started with like Instagrams and tweets that like I just kind of want to have filed away for that moment when something comes up in conversation and you're like, oh my God, I have to show you this meme, right?
Because you've watched me try to scroll through to like find a thing.
Yeah.
Just when leave the conversation for 7 minutes, try to find the thing and then rejoin.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Because you just never know when it's going to come up. And also,
you don't.
Anyone listening to this podcast has also experienced me trying to like paraphrase memes, which is always a massive disappointment. So I just feel like I just need to actually have them available.
Yeah.
What works about it is the same thing that works about Gmail and why Gmail was so revelatory when it was introduced circa like 2004, I'm going to guess. Gmail's whole value proposition at that point and why everybody was so excited to get on it was because it was really searchable. Because Google had made its name around search. That's all anybody knew Google for.
I kind of forgot that was the whole thing.
It was the entire thing. And it was like, if you had Gmail, it was really easy to find everything.
Remember when we couldn't find things in our email?
And so you spend so much time also like putting things in folders, and very few people in the population are good at like being archivists and librarians of their own life.
No, that's why there's like a library sciences degree.
Yes. And so Gmail all of a sudden did away largely with the need to organize anything because you could just search everything. And that is what works about notes. It is so searchable and it is fully in my brain now. And as my memory degrades with age, if it is not in my notes app, it doesn't exist. I met a mom the other day who told me her name and I was just like, I'm sorry, I just have to write it down. And I just started a new note and it said, Darlene is Maximilian's mom or something, like whatever her name is. And I was just like, next time I see this woman, I'm going to just search her kid's name.
Totally.
In my app. It's wonderful and it's helpful. And yeah, I advocate for this.
I take a lot of screenshots at this point for kind of the same purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And now knowing that like you can search,
it's great.
If I take a screenshot of an Instagram post that has text in it, I know that I can search my photos for a word. And I know that there are problems with this part of surveillance capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are many issues that our phones are reading every single thing that we do, say, post, whatever. Yeah. But God, it is
Erica, I had the most wonderful experience with that search function this morning. Longtime listeners of this podcast may recall in early pandemic, Cam needed stitches on his face and we were introduced to the most
Dr. Welks,
charming, enigmatic pediatric plastic surgeon, and he who prefers text message as his medium of communication. And so he had the most insane way of texting. He would say Welks as you're welcome. He would refer to Cam as bra. Our friend Chelsea Instagrammed this week that her kid needed stitches and she went to Dr. Wolf. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't thought about Dr. Wolf in so long. I love that man. And then looked to my phone to see if I still have my-
I was wondering if she went to Dr. Wolf and following this story on Instagram, I was like, this seems like the vibe, but I don't feel like I'm in a position to ask.
Oh, I immediately responded and was like, love Dr.
Well, I didn't
Dr.
know
Wolf.
The man's name. I just know Dr. Welks.
Like, she was like, I felt like I was meeting a celebrity. And I was like, you were. But then I was so sad because I was like, how will I possibly find these text messages that are like no longer on my phone? Well, thank God I'd screenshotted them and sent them to you and 10 other group chats because I just searched my phone for Wolf and all of a sudden remembered that not only did he say Welks, not only did he say bra, when I text messaged with him the day before Christmas Eve, he said, Feliz Nav. It's so
honestly,
good.
Honestly, this is a man who writes like an early aughts blogger. You know what
I
mean?
Yes,
like totally. He's like one step away from amazeballs. Like he is like just right up there.
1,000%. Dr. Wolf, if you're out there and single, I'd still like to find someone to set you up with. Incredibly charming.
I feel like there's a line forming right now.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Thank you so much to Masterclass for sponsoring today's episode. And you know what else? Thank you so much to Masterclass for hosting classes from Jon Kabat-Zinn, who I absolutely adore. Jon Kabat-Zinn is the guy responsible basically for bringing mindfulness to Western medicine and saying, this is something that actually helps. This is real. This works. And he has really changed my approach to mental health. I read one of his books when I was really depressed around 2010. And since then, I just gobble up anything I can get from him. And I was so excited to see that there is a class from Jon Kabat-Zinn on Masterclass. I absolutely cannot wait to take it. They have so many amazing classes and from people I think you wouldn't like naturally expect.
That is right. This fall, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass, from leadership to negotiating to creativity to cooking. Whether you're watching Masterclass on TV, listening in audio mode, in the app or on their site, the quality speaks for itself. It's like Masterclass instructors are your own personal mentors that are going to help you reach the next level. How much would it cost to take one-on-one classes with the world's best? Easily tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars. With a Masterclass annual membership, it's $10 a month. Membership started at $120 a year for unlimited access to one-on-one classes with all 180 plus Masterclass instructors, like former FBI Chris Voss's negotiation class and Esther Perel's teaching relational intelligence. Boost your confidence and find practical takeaways you can apply to your life and work. And if you own a business or are a team leader, use Masterclass to empower and create future-ready employees and leaders. There are over 180 classes to pick from, with new classes added every month. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/a thing or two. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/a thing or two. Masterclass.com/a thing or two. Did you know you can tell the difference between a laboratory-grown diamond and a natural diamond? Laboratory-grown diamonds are mass-produced in factories in just a few weeks and are easily detected due to their distinct patterns. On the other hand, natural diamonds are over a billion years old and support the livelihoods of over 10 million people worldwide. The positive impact of natural diamonds is widespread. Around 80% of the value of every rough diamond remains in local communities and supports infrastructure, healthcare, education, and environmental protection. So next time you're thinking of celebrating a special moment in your life, remember that your natural diamond also protects vulnerable wildlife species and brings prosperity to many less fortunate communities around the world. For more information, visit naturaldiamonds.com. Oh, the other thing I was going to say, when you're talking about as you get older, if you don't write it down, it just like doesn't exist. When I am with people and I say something and you can tell they actually want to remember it and then they don't write it down. Like
it stresses you out.
It stresses me out. It stresses me out because I'm like, how are you living? How are you moving through life? Totally. And then sometimes you get the follow-up email that's like, or the text that was like, what's that thing? Whatever. Which is fine. I mean, listen, it's fine. Yeah. But we're all capable of doing like the same act of just taking out the dumb phone and writing the thing down.
Normalize it, you know? I'm going to tell you a list of recent notes on my phone. Cam, the other day at dinner, told me all the kids in his class who get in trouble a lot for not listening, wrote those names down. I didn't want to forget. It just felt like it was going to be relevant in my life.
It's going to come up a lot.
Obviously, all the lists of shows that people tell me to watch. This note, this is a note that's been really good. I keep a list of ideas for what to do with Cam on a rainy day. On a rainy, it has rained every weekend for the last 2 months. That note has come in really handy.
I have a list called City Things that is like stuff in Manhattan that I want to do.
Great one.
As someone who lives in Brooklyn, it's just like nice to be like, these are the things I want to do when I'm in Manhattan. And I'll put like, if it's a gallery or whatever, I'll put when the show's running to so that I can just like delete it or whatever when it's done. It could be like a food cart, like whatever.
Yes. No, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Our mortgage interest rate. I can never remember. Sometimes you just like want to know.
It is also one of these things where it's one of those numbers that when you are getting it, right, you assume you'll remember it forever.
Of course. Like, it feels incredibly,
And then 2 years later, you're like, beats me. Like, and it's beats me.
Exactly. And it's not like my social security number where it's like in a doc with like all the important stuff. And the note just says, our mortgage interest rate on our home is.
On our home.
You don't know what you're going to, you know.
I do think for that one, you probably would search mortgage.
Just search mortgage.
And like home. Right. You wouldn't be like, What is home rate?
I think the point I'm trying to make is I use it like your mom uses Google. Or like we both use Google at this point.
Yeah.
You know, which is just talk to it like a person.
You use it like the film Memento with like the post-it notes on the mirror of like, this is your name. Mm-hmm. This is how old you are. Yeah. And here's where you are right now.
That's right. And here's the name of your general practitioner whose name just like will never stick with you, but does become relevant every once in a while when you're like doing an intake form.
Yep.
Yeah. Another one, this one, I don't know if it'll come up, but I've been seeing, you know, B2B businesses have been really into advertising on the subway lately. You know, like all the startup, the tech startup ones, like the way that they did in San Francisco 5 years ago, they were all buying billboards and it was like, why do B2B businesses advertise like this? Now it's happening here. And I'm always like, I don't know. I don't need like an app making technology, but I might eventually. And I don't want to be like, what was that one I saw on the C train?
Well, and then it's called Monday.
Yes. Also.
Is one of the management tools, which we've used and had a great experience with. Yeah. How in the world are you supposed to remember that or Google it and find it out?
Exactly.
Know?
So I just wrote down, what is the one that I, let's see here. Flowdesk, mobile app software.
Who knows?
Now, we might need it. I don't know.
Who knows?
Friends' addresses, because I hate the contacts software.
I hate the contacts too.
It's so slow. It never works.
Why are we having to put it in things line by line in the contacts?
It's so obnoxious.
This technology definitely knows when I type in a full address, it knows what all those pieces are. It could do that itself.
Of course.
It knows that when I type NY, that's a state.
Yes, obviously. By the way, though, yesterday somebody submitted as their thingies on Instagram, saving their friends' addresses as a location in Maps.
Which that I loved. Like,
that I love. Also a great way of dealing with this. I use the Notes app more because, you know, if I'm sending gifts, I used to have to like search in my inbox for the last time I sent them something.
You search the last name and USPS. Yes.
Confirmation.
Yeah. Listen, mm-hmm. Not great.
Keeping it in Notes app from now on. You know? So anyway, I don't know. I just think other people might be underutilizing their Notes app.
I think so.
Not you. You, I know, have always.
Me,
you,
no.
If
me.
I use it like Memento, you use it like,
Yeah, tell me.
Like a bullet journal, honestly.
No,
like,
it's not that good. It's not. That's giving me so much credit.
Well, you do have some, we'll call them systems, like with a capital S.
Claire, my system is like October is the name of the note because I don't like when it automatically makes the first line a title and it doesn't feel like an actual title. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. I don't like typing
the actual content in the title field.
Yeah.
And so I like to have things organized in some way.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like a note that says November.
Yeah.
And then I drop in truly all the nonsense I hear during the month of November.
Yeah.
Some of which I like have like a more urgent use for, some of which I'm like, I should Google that later.
I think the thing about the system is nothing that you've just said. It's the December 1 being like, oh, December 1, let me review my November list.
No. I don't do that. No. I don't. If I'm looking for things for the newsletter or if I'm like, oh, somebody told me about a movie, then I open the November to be like,
Something? Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's a like reference in the background. Okay.
Something you don't use it for, and it doesn't seem to be a problem for you.
Yeah.
But I can't, like, to me, it's crazy not to, is taking notes on phone calls. It is just so useful for that, of being like, what did that guy, and who, and like, what did he say?
I know. I use a notebook for that. I don't think that a notebook is the best answer for that because then I have to go out, get my little notebooks and try to figure out where that piece of content is.
Yeah, and like what day that phone call happened on. And
I don't love it, but I do remember things better if I write them down by hand. So there's like the trade-off. Well,
but if they're in your notes, you don't have to remember them.
I understand, but sometimes I still want to. I don't know. It's tricky. No. I am interested. You know that thing Remarkable?
Yeah. Yes.
Someone had recommended this at some point in our Geneva, and I keep hearing about it. You know, our friend Dan Fromore also recommended it years ago.
Well, doesn't Ben use it, our management coach?
I think so. But it's basically a tablet that you can take notes directly into that is meant to feel like writing on paper, not writing on a screen. Mm-hmm. And then it transcribes or it makes those things searchable.
It converts them into type.
Exactly. So I've been very tempted
by
it because I feel like it could be the solve.
Remarkable. You can send us ones.
You can advertise on this podcast. You can send us them. It's like tons of options.
We will provide honest reviews that are honest but biased because you sent them to us for free. Just ask Calzoros.
Yeah.
We were honest. The other thing I just would be remiss to leave this segment without saying that is truly one of the most valuable uses of it for me is the restaurant note-taking. You know, what you like at a restaurant, what you don't like, so you don't fuck up again the next time. It's the version of those cutesy notebooks of like what wines you like, you know?
Right. Totally. No, it is so useful. Where did you take it out recently to update your notes? You and I went somewhere recently and you were like, I got to write this down that this is what I like here. Do you remember?
I remember that happening, and I can't remember. But you and I mean, it has served us at Sugarfish for years. Neither of us have to remember that we don't like the, I don't
eat
the snapper.
And neither of us can.
No. So for years now, like at least five, probably a lot more, I've been pulling up this thing every time we order at Sugarfish to say, can you give us the bay scallop instead of the harame, whatever.
Yeah.
Chris and I went to Goose Feather over the weekend, and I didn't have any notes, which we were both shocked by. So then as we were eating, he was like, did you put that in your notes? And I was like, oh, look who's gotten on board with this system.
Oh, yeah. I know where it was. It was Shunley.
Oh, yes. Yes. I did
we
update
went to
my
Shunley,
notes.
And we, our friend Marissa recommended a new ants. Item. Ants. It's not called Ants Marching.
It's but not
that
called
is what
Ants
you called
Marching,
it.
And it's not Ants
but
on a Log.
If you have Ants Marching, you'll know what it is on the menu. You don't
it's
need to worry
ants
about
climbing
it.
A tree.
Ants climbing a tree.
I added that to the note because it's really yeah. good. It's going to be yeah. on the list from now on.
No, it was yeah. excellent. It was excellent.
Just as important, by the way, to write down the things you don't like so you don't say like, oh, that might be good.
Because often you see things on a menu and it has two yeah. or three of your ingredients, you know, mm-hmm. your ingredients.
Yeah.
And you order it and you're like, it's not what I wanted.
That's right. And you need to remember that because, gosh, I screw up all the time.
Something that I used my photo search skills for mm-hmm. The other day was to find this term that was shared with us via yes. Instagram DM that I was, thank God, my brain was in the space where it was mm-hmm. remembered to take a screenshot. Maddie Fraser shared the term biz riz.
It's so good. How is it not
a thing?
In circulation.
Circulation. Oh my God. So basically, we've talked about Riz on this podcast, mm-hmm. short for charisma, used by mm-hmm. the children. Yeah. Biz Riz is, as Maddie says, a term that I didn't coin, but feel perfectly captures the specific art form of corporate charm. One of those terms that immediately clicked for me, and now I can't believe I lived without this vernacular until now.
It's so good.
Biz Riz. Biz.
I did
Riz.
Spend about, I didn't dedicate a lot of time to it, but as I was reading the notes for today's script and thinking about, you know, do I have anything to add? I was like, can I think of any companies that have biz riz? And unfortunately, we're in such a dark time for biz riz. I was struggling to come up with anybody
but
who
I
had
think
biz
there are
riz.
People who do.
For sure. For
people
sure.
People
There's
with
people
it, yeah.
who biz riz, who have biz riz.
Yeah, yeah. 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 Totally. Something related to this. Mm-hmm. You did not coin the term, but I think for me, you coined mm-hmm. the usage. We had dinner the other night with two single gals, and one of them is sort of a new pal, mm-hmm. and you asked her what she was looking for in a prospective date, mm-hmm. but you asked what was on her RFP.
Yeah, I said, what's the RFP? No, it's true. It's actually so obvious that I can't believe it. It is also not in circulation.
It should be in circulation. Yeah. RFP, request yeah. for proposal.
Which you leveled, to give credit where credit's due, why isn't there a romance novel called Request for Proposal?
And that's our title.
Romance?
Don't take it. That's ours. Yeah.
That's ours. Don't fucking take it. I mean, God, What Women Want took place at an ad agency. What Women Want is like a fine title.
No. Request for proposal? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. 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 No, here we go.
You know who could use that? It's like a dating app instead of being like, what are you
looking
for?
You know who's going to use it? The League. Because the League
totally.
Is really, that is where they're operating. Yeah.
What's the RFP? Yeah. Another great one that we came across, also this one on Twitter, via Madeline Agler, friend-in-law. A friend-in-law is one of your best friends who you've met maybe four times. You know everything about their job, relationships, career, family, shame, dreams, medical history, etc. Talk about clicking immediately.
Shame is the word here that I think just is extremely powerful. Everything
it's
about their job,
so
relationships,
good.
Career, family, shame, dreams, medical history, etc. Same.
I sent it to my friend Carrie, who like I need to tell her about normal gossip because she is like she's just way too invested.
She's the target
in the lives
demo.
Of people. Yeah,
she's the target demo.
She's way too invested in the lives of people she doesn't know. All of her friends are my friend-in-laws. I know too much about their shit. When I sent it to her, she was like, "Yeah, this is like when I go to tell a story to someone and I say my college roommate's best friend from high school." I was like, "Yes, that's correct. When you're telling a story about your college roommate's best friend from high school, which is my best friend from high school."
Uh, God.
This one is more of a question for the crowd. And it's, I'm going to try to make it the last time I bring up, the first and last time I bring up Travis Kelce. I mean, on
this
episode.
Best of luck to you. Oh, on this episode. Okay. Yeah, I was like,
no, we've definitely already talked about him.
Let's be careful about
him. No, on this episode. Obviously, I've been exposed to a lot more footage of him recently, both past and current. Something that he says a lot, and not just him, but his teammates, is, how about that? How about that? How about that? Like, a lot. And at first, I just thought it was like,
is it his 1,000%? Is it?
Yeah, no, because it's not, he's really asking. So it's like,
oh, okay.
This started, well, no, he's not really asking. He's asking it rhetorically.
It's not a question.
Where it comes up several times is in a clip that got circulated a lot to just be like, this man has incredible riz. And it's right after he won the Super Bowl. And it's him when his mom approaches him afterwards. And before his mom approaches him, he's just walking through the field. Everybody's like high-fiving, whatever. Yeah. And he's going, right, how about that, Jimmy? How about that? And then his mom comes up and he's like, mom, how about that, mom? Like, you had the week of your life. I just had the year of my life. How about that? So then I was like, that's just like a weird phrase. But then now I'm watching all these football clips and everybody's saying, how about that? I'm like, is this an athlete thing? I'm genuinely asking. Is this something we are saying? Is this NFL
specific?
This is a call in.
This is an 833-632-5463. We want your voicemails to explain it, please.
And is it how about da? Because that's kind of how he says it, but okay. He also has an accent. Or is it how about that? I need to know. I need to know everything.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. A journey I want you to take us on.
As if I didn't already take you on a journey with French cuffing. You ask so much of me, but I'm happy to give it.
Well, it's all textile journeys.
It's true. I had a bunch of friends coming to stay with me a couple weekends ago. The aforementioned, you know, high school friends were all coming to stay. And I realized that I didn't have enough towels. There were like 8 people or something staying. And I was like, I don't know if I have enough clean towels for all these people. And it's time to get more. And my last towel purchase, which I really love, they were Wamsutta, which is a Bed Bath & Beyond house line. It's obviously no longer
Owned brand.
Those towels are now part of the Beyond. They do not exist anymore. Wamsutta is no longer. I searched high and low being like, well, I don't know, maybe Wamsutta still exists. Like, I don't know. Or maybe you can still get these on Amazon or something. I located a Reddit thread, which I loved because it was some dude being like, these are the only ones my wife liked. And everybody in the comments is also a dude. And there's like a lot of razzing and a lot of trolling. And then also the like prototypical Reddit guy who gets so nerdy about it and is like, well, that was manufactured by that company, but they use the same factory as XYZ. And this is another line that factory produces. And I was very charmed by that. It was ultimately not fruitful for me. I think that even now the factories at this point are done. So I was despondent. I loved those towels.
Despondent. And, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the only word.
As you said, everybody talks about discontinued makeup. Nobody is talking about discontinued linens.
Nobody. Nobody. As if a lip gloss is the only thing we can have an irrational relationship with.
Well, I had an irrational relationship with Wamsutta. I think they those were really quality products.
So now I'm then faced with the question of which brand of towels that are actually still being manufactured to buy. And I had no idea, despite the fact that I'm obviously privy to like 17 conversations a month about what the best towel brand
is. No, but it's hard because at this point, the go-tos are Wirecutter and Strategist.
Yes.
You know, we tried to fill a part of this gaping hole for a minute. There are a lot of shopping newsletters menu. Secret Menu. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of shopping newsletters at this point. But like basically whenever you're trying to find it, the information is coming at you when you're not looking for it.
So that is why the conversations are constantly happening. And as a consumer or just as a person on the internet, I'm so bored when everybody's talking about it. I'm like, why is everybody jumping in on this? But it is because somebody always is me. He needs the towels.
Yeah.
So you then, never
right then,
to-
right then, right then.
So then I was like in the situation where I was like, I'm not going to start another one of these conversations. They happen daily and it's on me that I wasn't paying attention when they happened in the past, you know, because they bored me. So it's like, who cares?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And instead, I purchased and returned 2 full sets of towels before landing on my third, which was Casatex, which I'd never even heard of. Had you heard of it?
No, who took you to Casatex?
My mom. I don't know how it's different than the other. I mean, it's good. It's better. And the branding, I think, is a little bit chicer.
Yeah.
And they clearly don't advertise as much as the other guys. But I tried the other guys. I'll say I have the waffle knit towels from Parachute that and I like those. I was looking for a hefty, soft terry towel.
Like a thick terry.
Yeah. Yeah, that feels absolutely luxurious when you get out of the shower.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I also think that like if you're looking for something that's going to hold up for, you know, years as guest towels, like that's a good way to go.
I also just like a waffle knit towel is kind of a specific thing. I don't know if my guests want that.
I think that's right. I think it's not standard. It's not standard. Yeah.
But it's like there's these categories of things for which we need the consumer reports of the world. It's like having a baby for one. Yeah. You're so fucking invested when it's you.
Yeah.
And when it's not, you've A, forgotten, and B, cannot believe people are still talking about it.
Yeah.
People are still talking about how to raise a newborn.
Because I just don't think that like the best advice is coming from the like mainstream pubs on this at this point, unfortunately, which are like very fueled by Amazon and all of that at this point. Well, like, I don't know. Yeah.
I think there's still room for it. And the problem is that the media business is broken and it's like you can't make money off of this unless.
So we never get to know what good towels are because the media business is broken.
Like, I think.
I think that's right. I don't think that's actually the wrong. Yeah.
Right. It's like Gwyneth has to sell stuff too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, guys.
Yeah. 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 No, totally. Totally.
You read a great book recently. Speaking of journeys.
Wouldn't shut up about it. You heard so much about this book.
I've heard so much about it. It really stuck with you.
It really stuck with me. It's called I'll Have What She's Having by Erin Carlson. It is about the making of the three iconic Nora Ephron rom-coms. So When Harry Met Sally, which she wrote, Sleepless in Seattle, which she wrote and directed, and You've Got Mail, which she wrote and directed. Okay.
When Harry Met Sally's Rob Reiner?
Exactly. And Delia Ephron co-wrote Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail. Like, so yeah, she's not necessarily the sole person. Those are considered sort of like her movies in that like she like shaped and the stories are hers. So part of what was really compelling about this book that I just like don't think I really got for some reason was that she didn't start directing until she was 50. That was like a real aha moment for me. And like, obviously she had a very successful, you know, journalism career before this and was a sort of name and a personality. Yeah. But I guess I didn't really realize that she and Julia Child were ostensibly on the same trajectory of having this sort of like later in life, sort of like second career boom. And that they were just like, she was just such a cultural fixture at 50 as a woman, which is surprising.
Amazing. Yeah.
And amazing. Amazing. It made me think of this book that Anne Friedman told me about called I Shock Myself. I have not read it yet, but it's about a sculptor named Beatrice Wood, who did not take up ceramics until she was 40. And then she made the work that she was best known for in her 90s, which is when she wrote this book. And just that like idea of self-shock in general and like the ability to surprise yourself and to do things you just didn't have any even concept of doing maybe when you were in your 30 is very compelling. Yeah. The entire book is a delight. We talked about this the other day, but this quote,
my God, this is so good. This is what stuck with me.
This is what stuck with you. Good.
This is the piece that really stuck with me that you told me.
While promoting When Harry Met Sally, Nora, an atheist, explained how, quote, Christian and, quote, Jewish romantic comedies differ. External forces separated lovers in the former, while characters' neuroses obstruct happiness in the latter.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And as we discussed at dinner last night, all of the romantic comedies these days are Jewish by that definition.
Is like the mom keeping them apart. Yeah. This is external forces. No, every romance, every rom-com now, it's all neuroses. It's all inner, it's all head stuff. It's not like he's being sent off to war and so we can't be together. It's not Dear John, you know?
Right. Well, this is the modern condition. We got everything we want. We're still unhappy. So we have to like come up with new problems. Right?
And we all have therapy now. Yeah. I just like recommend every piece of this book, of course. But there was a particular sort of comedy for me in the You've Got Mail sections because it just speaks to such a specific time and such a specific moment. Basically, they had this idea for this movie, but it was like nobody really involved in the movie was emailing. Like they weren't personally
using they were like, email. We think this thing's happening.
It's like, they're like, it's definitely happening. They were right. But like, it's definitely happening. We're going to bring in some consultants to like teach us about this and email and how it works. A junior staffer had to set up AOL on Meg Ryan's computer.
Incredible.
The first email she sends is to Tom. In the due diligence for the movie, the studio found out that You've Got Mail, the like phrase, wasn't copyrighted by AOL. So they copyrighted it and gave it to AOL.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Aaron Carlson, the author, also wrote a book that came out recently called No Crying in Baseball about the making of a league of their own. And there's this really good Lit Hub article about it that basically just like lists everybody who auditioned for this movie, which includes Courtney Cox, Cindy Crawford, Sarah Jessica Parker, Tatum O'Neill, wow. Kelly Preston, Brooke Shields, Elizabeth Perkins. Like they all had to like play baseball for Penny Marshall. And certain people just got sent home for like throwing like a girl.
Wow.
Incredible. Incredible. And then there's this bit about Rosie O'Donnell, who came up on last week's episode or the one before.
Yes.
Rosie O'Donnell, a stand-up comedian and VH1 DJ, flew in from New York for the occasion. If I don't get this part, I'll quit show business, she thought. If there's one thing I can do better than Meryl Streep, it's play baseball.
Did you know she was a VH1 DJ?
No! What?
I had no idea.
No idea.
Well, that's the show.
That's the show.
This has been a production of Dear Media, and we are so grateful to the talented team over there for helping us make this podcast happen, especially to our wonderful producer, Allie Slice. You can follow us on Instagram at @athingortwohq, and if you have ideas for our show or want to advertise, email podcast@athingortwohq.com. Find show notes and sign up for our newsletter at athingortwohq.com too. If you love the show, consider supporting it by signing up for a secret menu also at athingortwohq.com.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.